I thank Reverend Porter for words of welcome. It's a joy to be back in Bethel. It's a long time since I've been here. And this is my home county, County Fermanagh. I was born in Newton Butler, just outside Newton Butler. I spent the first 9 years of my life, not tell you how many years ago that was, but the first 9 years of my life were spent down there near the Finn Bridge in County Fermanagh. We had a farm there, and then I went to Newton Butler Primary School. So I always say to my wife, this is God's own country. I don't think she really believes that now, but because most times we come here, it rains. But it didn't rain tonight, and when I attended Presbytery the other week here, it didn't rain either. So there's twice I have been to County Fermanagh, and it hasn't rained. It's a joy to be here. And we've been around the world a little bit today, down in Tullyvallen, back to Lisburn, where I now live, and then back to down here to Enniskillen tonight. We do covet your prayers for the work in Ballygowan as we continue there to hold forth the word of life in that corner of the vineyard. Again, we're going after two churches just for one more week. I will be looking after Dunmurry because Mr. Nathan McVeigh will be on Friday night ordained and installed there as the new minister in our Dunmurry church. So that releases me from one of the charges, and I'm back to Ballygowan full time again after that. So do remember our brother Nathan. I know his family connections, or at least his wife would have up here in Fermanagh, and I do remember him as he takes up the charge there in Dunmurry from Friday night. Let's turn to the Word of God tonight. We find it in the book of Luke's Gospel, a familiar portion of God's Word. The Lord has drawn my attention to this passage again tonight, the 12th chapter of Luke and the verse 13. We're reading together, and let us hear the Word of God tonight. And one of the company said unto me, Master, speak to my brother, that he divide the inheritance with me. And he said unto him, Man, who made me a judge or a divider over you? He said unto them, Take heed and beware of covetousness. For a man's life consisteth not in the abundance of the things which he possesseth. And he spake a parable unto them, saying, The ground of a certain rich man brought forth plentifully. He thought within himself, What shall I do? Because I have no room where to bestow my fruits. And he said, This will I do. I will pull down my barns and build greater. And there will I bestow all my fruits and my goods. And I will say to my soul, Soul, thou hast much goods laid up for many years. Take thine ease. Eat, drink, and be merry. But God said unto him, Thou fool, this night thy soul shall be required of thee. Then whose shall those things be which thou hast provided? So is he that layeth up treasure for himself, and is not rich toward God. Ending our reading at verse 21, we know that God will bless to us the reading of his inspired, inerrant, and infallible word. Let's bow together in prayer. Father in heaven, we come to thee in the precious name of the Lord Jesus Christ. And we ask of thee for help and power tonight in the preaching of the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. Our desire and prayer is tonight that thou wilt move by thy Holy Spirit. And O God, that tonight thou wilt take of the things of Christ and reveal them to men and women and young people. And we pray that some soul or souls, ere this night passes, will close with Christ as he's freely offered in the gospel. We pray in Jesus' name for God's eternal glory. Amen. You'll find the basis of the message in these words that we have read tonight from Luke's Gospel, chapter 12. The subject tonight is the man who died a fool. The man who died a fool. Here we have a rich farmer. It is the complaint of many farmers that they are not rich, but poor. Many hours put in for little or no return, for all the toil and labor. But this man had plenty. The Bible tells us here, he had a bountiful return in the time of harvest. But he had a problem. The Bible tells us he thought within himself, verse 17, what shall I do? Because I have no room where to bestow my fruits. He was perplexed as to what he should do to house the harvests that he had reaped. And then we discover in verse 18 he had plans. He had ambitious plans for the future. He said, this will I do. I will pull down my barns and build greater. And there will I bestow all my fruits and my goods. He was going to build bigger and better barns to facilitate the crops he had reaped. He was going to expand into the future. We discover not only had he plenty and he had a problem and he had plans, but we discover he made a pronouncement in verse 19. And I will say to my soul, soul, thou hast much goods laid up for many years. Take thine ease, eat, drink, and be merry. He made a pronouncement about the provision he had made for the future. And the thought that all was well. As far as these things were concerned, material things, for years to come, he was going to enjoy himself. He was going to take his ease. He spoke about pleasure. He was going to eat, drink, and be merry. And you know, many think of along these lines today. They think about having a good time, living for the present, living for the now, living it up, living life to the full. You hear all of those terms used in society today. Having a big party, eating, drinking, and being merry. That is the theme of many today. The thrill of the moment. Living for now. But no thought about their soul. No thought about eternity. No thought about God's salvation. And we read in verse 20, but God said unto him, thou fool, this night thy soul shall be required of thee. Then whose shall those things be which thou hast provided? How many times in Scripture do we read those words, but God? But God. And in the midst of all that this man was thinking about, all his plans for the future, God stepped in. The intervention of God. God had something to say to this man. And God has something to say to you tonight in this service. Before you go out through the doors of this church, God has something to say to you tonight. Something to say to you about eternity. Something to say to you tonight about your soul. Something that you need to hear. And something that you need to heed. And what a powerful word it was. And what a powerful word it is in the gospel tonight. To every person within this church tonight, outside of Christ. With time only for the world. With time only for the things of time and sense. With no thought for God. Oh, that you might tonight get right with God. For the Bible says it is time to seek the Lord. There are several things that I want to notice about this man who died a fool. First of all, the description of this man. And God says here in these words, thou fool. The term fool used here refers to a heedless, witless person. And without Christ, without thought of God, you are a heedless, witless person. Heedless to the many warnings that you've received down through the course of your life. How many warnings have you received in relation to eternal things? But yet you have chosen again and again to ignore those warnings, not to listen to them. In the hour of sickness, Those warnings have been brought before you. In the time when your body was weak, or you looked upon the fierce and the frail frame of a loved one who was in the midst of sickness. In that time of sorrow, those warnings came with great strength and power. In that time when you lost someone precious to you, you stood at an open grave and you faced death as far as one was taken from you is concerned. And in the various situations of difficulty and danger through life, these warnings have come upon you. I remember a person who had such warnings saying to me, when he found himself in a particular difficult situation, "This is another warning to me." But sadly, he was heedless to those warnings. When things got better, he thought no more about eternal things. When things got better, he moved on with his life in his carelessness, in his ungodly attitude, in his sinful ways. It was like water off a duck's back. It made no impression upon him. And perhaps you have been in great difficulty. Maybe even tonight you find yourself in a dark place. Maybe even in great danger. But you have been heedless to these warnings. Oh, that you might heed the warnings tonight. He was heedless not only to warnings, but heedless to the words that have been spoken. You know, the Word of God has been spoken in your hearing. You've heard it preached again and again. You've been often reproved by it. And the Bible teaches us tonight in Proverbs chapter 29 and verse 1, "He that being often reproved hardeneth his neck shall suddenly be destroyed, and that without remedy." And in a sense, many people have received truth. They have listened to it time and time again. But they have not received it into their heart. It has been the outward hearing. The Bible says in the book of Isaiah chapter 55 and verse 3, "Incline your ear and come unto me, hear and your soul shall live." You see, you need to hear with the hearing of the heart tonight. Remember the Word of God tonight that comes to you. And heed it. Listen to it. The Word from heaven spoken to you tonight. Hear, and your soul shall live. The force of this word, "full," is without mind or sense or understanding. And how many people are without mind or sense or understanding in relation to the things of God? They discern not these things. They have no understanding of these things. Their understanding is darkened. Their mind is not open to spiritual truth. But oh, that your heart might be opened by the work of the Holy Spirit tonight. Oh, that you might receive that divine enlightenment tonight in relation to these spiritual things, these eternal truths, these things that you need to listen to. And you need to hear. It was heedless to the words that have been spoken, but heedless to the works of God brought before you. You've seen the miracle of God's grace. Lives changed. Homes rearranged by the power of God. And yet you've turned away from God's salvation. Maybe it's someone in your family who's been saved. Maybe someone in the workplace. Someone in your neighborhood. You've seen the transformation in their life. You have to admit that they're different. But yet you remain heedless to these things, hardening your heart, stubbornly refusing to submit yourself to God and to His Word. You think of Pharaoh, that king in Egypt, in all his wickedness, in all his rebellion, in all his hatred of God and God's ways. And yet he saw God's works again and again. But the Bible tells us there in the book of Exodus how Pharaoh hardened his heart. He would not bend nor bow to the God of heaven. He would not submit himself. Heedless to God's works. Have you been heedless to God's works? And even now, as you sit in this service tonight, you still remain in that heedless condition. But heedless to the ways of God, because you have chosen your own way. Like this man here, in the Gospel of Luke chapter 12, he chose the way of covetousness, the way of materialism, the way of pleasure seeking, a way that was self-centered, the way of the world. And how many have chosen that way tonight? Are you numbered amongst them? The Bible tells us of Felix, who heard the message that came to him from the Apostle Paul. And though he trembled, and though he was troubled, yet the Bible tells us there in Acts 24, verse 25, he said to Paul, "Go thy way for this time. When I have a convenient season, I will call for thee." You see, he refused to go God's way. He was a fool. He was heedless in regard to God's salvation. Friend, how is it with you tonight? Is God saying to you, as he said to this man, "Thou fool, thou fool"? The description of this man. But I want you to notice, secondly, tonight in this portion, the departure of this man. And God said to this man, "Thou fool, this night thy soul shall be required of thee." It was going to be sudden, his departure, this night. He hadn't got much time. I suggest to you tonight, and I put it to you tonight in this meeting, you haven't got much time. People think they have plenty of time, but time is short. You think, "Well, I have tomorrow." But God says emphatically to this man, "This night." And to how many in our society, and even maybe some in this church tonight, is God saying this night, this night, this night? A heart attack, an accident, a stroke, a brain seizure, some other sudden illness that will take you from this scene of time. The Bible says this in the book of Job, "Beware lest he take thee away with his stroke, and then a great ransom cannot deliver thee." And as far as this man was concerned, it was a dark night, this night. The present night for this man. It was a dark night. The night when his soul would be taken into God's eternity. And my friend, it will be a dark night for you if you die in your sin. For where Christ is, you cannot be. And then I want you to see here, not only was it sudden, but it was his soul's departure. This man was going to die. "This night thy soul shall be required of thee." His soul was going to depart from his body. He would find himself in God's eternity. And what a sudden and sobering thought this is. That someday, soon, perhaps even tonight, your soul will depart from your body. And you will die. It will be death for you. And let me suggest to you tonight, it is inevitable. It is inescapable. The Bible says in the book of Samuel, we must all needs die, and there is water spilt upon the ground which cannot be gathered up again. You see, it's unavoidable. You cannot avoid it. The grim reaper will come to reap his terrible harvest. And the last enemy of death will come. And your soul will depart from this life. How will it be with you then? Let me put it to you tonight. Your riches will not count then. Your religion will not count then. Your respectability will not count then. It's only what you have done with Jesus will count then. What have you done with Christ? What have you done with Christ? It was his soul's departure, and it was a personal departure. Thy soul, the Lord says, thy soul. No one else could depart for this man, neither can anyone else depart for you. It will be you, and you alone. We all have to face death individually. It was a painful departure. For this man died without God and without hope. He had nothing to hold on to. He had no hope in death and no hope for eternity. What a tragic end it was for this man. What a terrible end it was for him. No time for God in life. He died without hope. Without a hope to cheer the tomb. Will your departure be such a painful one from the scene of time? It was a painful departure. I want to suggest to you it was a permanent departure. No return for this man to this life. No coming back to his riches. To all the things that he'd going for him in this life, and he had plenty going for him. He had all of this prosperity, all of this wealth, all of the plans for the future. But he was gone, and gone forever. Oh, the finality of it. I remember a dear lady when I was laboring in Belfast, and she was telling me about one of her friends who sadly had passed, and she said her husband was grieving badly, but she said, you know, he's comforted because his wife has come back in another form. And he can see her there sitting in the chair that she always sat on. But my friend, there's no coming back to this life. There's no such a thing as reincarnation. When death comes, it is a permanent departure. It is how you depart from this life that really counts. The Bible teaches us clearly the place we have known will know us no more forever. When we are gone forever. Oh, we may remember someone. We may have a visual impression of how somebody looked and how they were. We all have those memories. But that person has not come back and will not come back. That's the truth of Scripture. But I want you to think also about the summons of this departure. This night thy soul shall be required of thee. God shall require thy soul. Unsaved man, woman, young person, you will give account before the judgment bar of God. What a summons that is. Man, woman, what hast thou done with thy soul? Give account of thy stewardship. What have you done with the Lord Jesus Christ? Have you accepted Christ or rejected him? It's one or the other. You cannot sit on the fence. There's no in between.
There's no neutrality here.
This man was summoned from his pleasure and his prosperity and all his planning for the future to answer before God. And the Bible teaches us tonight, as it is appointed unto man once to die, and after this, the judgment. Don't think for a moment that death is the end. You know, people think, oh, that's the release. Death. That's the release. But it's not. It's not the release for the unsaved person. There's a judgment to be faced. I was listening some time ago to a news broadcast, and they were telling about this man in the Stranmillis area of Belfast. He had committed this awful crime in the 1980s. And the thought was he had got away with it. But then a knock came to the door. And he appeared eventually before the judge. And judgment was given for the deed that he had done away back in the 1980s. He was called to account. The Bible says every one of us shall give account of himself to God. Every one of us. The summons of this departure. I want you to think about the sentence at his departure. The sentence, the great judge of all the earth. And the Bible tells us in the book of the Revelation, chapter 20 and verse 12. Revelation chapter 20 and verse 12. And I saw the dead, small and great, stand before God, and the books were open. And another book was open, which is the book of life, and the dead were judged out of those things which are written in the books according to their works. And sentence will be given according to our works. There can be no cover up. Absolutely no cover up. All will be in view. And you know the sentence to the ungodly. Matthew 25:41, depart from me, ye cursed, into everlasting fire. That's the sentence. It's a sentence of condemnation. It's a sentence of damnation for all eternity. What an awful sentence. Let me say to you tonight in this meeting, if you're unsaved, that is the sentence that awaits you if you die without Christ. That is the sentence that awaits you. The judgment. The eternal judgment of God. The punishment, everlasting punishment upon your soul. Think about that tonight. Think about that tonight. But I want you to see, thirdly, the dilemma for this man. Because God said to him, who shall those things be which thou hast provided? The argument here appears to be much the same as that of Ecclesiastes chapter 5 and verse 15. And he came forth of his mother's womb naked, shall he return to go as he came, and shall take nothing of his labor which he may carry away in his hand. You see, we bring nothing into this world. And it is certain we take nothing out of it. You ever walk behind a funeral? I'm sure you've walked behind for hundreds of them. And you hear them all talking. Such a load of rubbish. Never heard in your life. People talk behind funeral. I have been there, listened to all this rubbish. But one day, they were walking behind, there was a wee fella, and he was in amongst them, and they were all saying, how much did he leave? How much did he leave? And the wee fella, he was wiser than all the rest of them. He says, he left it all. He left it all. We take nothing into this world. we carry nothing out of it. We've often heard that saying, there are no pockets in the shroud, and how true it is. No pockets in the shroud. You leave it all behind. And you know, people are clinging to their riches in this world, and in a moment they're taken away from it all. You think of that rich man in Luke chapter 16. He died, but he left all his riches behind. Who will get your riches? Maybe family and friends and whatever. Or whoever. If you have any riches. A friend, you will leave it all behind. Your riches will not do you any good in eternity. They cannot buy your salvation. Cannot buy your salvation. I remember a man whom you may remember from years ago. He was a public representative in Belfast, and I knew him on the Shankill Road when his name was John McQuaid. He was an MP one time. I used to visit him. I conducted his funeral actually many years later, but I remember talking to Johnny about his soul and about eternity. And you know, he used to come and listen to me preach and heard the gospel and many other gospel preachers, but he wasn't saved. And you know, he said, if I could spend this money and I could get my health back again, I would give all this money and I would go to such and such a place. And I used to say to him, Johnny, what about your soul? What about your soul? You cannot buy salvation. And then one night, he was in the hospital. I went to see him. He was lying so ill. And I read to him Isaiah chapter 53. And he lifted himself up out of the bed. And he said, Alan, I see it. I see it. And that night, in that hospital ward, he got saved. Trusted in Christ. You see, he saw that Christ had paid it all. There was nothing that he could give, but Christ had given it all on the cross. My dear friend, tonight, your riches can do nothing for you. Your riches will corrupt, thieves break through and steal. No lasting benefit will come to your soul from the riches you have in this world. Folly, and nothing less than folly, is the right word by which to describe the conduct of the man who thinks of nothing but money. The man or woman, the young person who lays up treasure for themselves, is not rich toward God. Is that man or that woman or that person, young person, whom God declares to be a fool? It's an awful thought that the character which Jesus brings before us here in this parable is far from being uncommon. Thousands in every age of the world have lived continuously doing the very things that are here condemned. Thousands and millions are doing them today. They're laying up treasure upon earth. Listening to someone recently, and they were talking about this whole Brexit thing, and you hear it so much that it nearly drives you crazy listening to it. But you know, all they were interested in was their money. That was their whole focus. Their whole focus. And I thought, how benighted are you? Thinking only of these things. No thought about the things of God. Laying up treasure upon earth and thinking of nothing of how you can increase it. Adding to their hoards as if they're going to enjoy them forever. As if there is no death, no judgment, no world to come.
Bible says, what shall it profit a man if he'll gain the whole world and lose his own soul? The Bible says here, who shall those things be which thou hast provided? So, verse 21, is he that layeth up treasure for himself and is not rich toward God. The folly of storing up for yourself in this world, having nothing, store it up for the next world. Be rich toward God, my friend. Don't be a fool like this man. Experience God's so great salvation. This week I was visiting a man whose mother was a godly lady, came to my church in Ballygan, now home of the Lord. I heard about this man, the son of this lady, dying. I went to the hospice, that's where he is. When he saw me, he said, Mr. Smiley, you've come to see me. I said, Billy, how is it with your soul? He said to me, Mr. Smiley, I've got no anchor. I've got no anchor. You know what he said to me? I opened the Bible. He said, read Psalm 46. And I read Psalm 46 and he gripped my hand. And I said, Billy, here's the anchor. Christ is a refuge. You need to trust in him. And my friend, tonight, you need an anchor. As you face the unknown future, as you face an endless eternity, you need an anchor. Thank God there's an anchor that keeps the soul. Steadfast and sure while the billows roll, fastened to the rock which cannot move. Steadfast and sure in the Savior's love. Will you trust him tonight? Do it before it's too late. May the Lord bless his word to our hearts.